afternoon, and welcome to Remember When. It's all about the people and events that brought us where we are today, and the show is sponsored by the Maritime Museum of British Columbia. I'm Glenn Parfitt, filling in for Susan Woods, who's running for city council in the upcoming election. Wish Susan the best of luck. I'll be filling in for her until the 15th of November, which, of course, is Election Day. If you want to know more about what Susan's up to in her bid for city council, check out her website at www.susanwoodsforvictoria.com. And we wish her luck. Again, she'll be back on the 15th of November. I've been very happy to fill in for her. Today on our show, we'll be talking about a little bit of history down Long Wharf Street. We mentioned last week we'll be talking about Wharf Street in the 60s, but we'll also be talking about the origins of Bastion Square as well. First of all, we'll go to our little thing I like to do here every week, which is Today in History. So we'll give you a few tidbits about Today in History. Today in History, in 1879, Thomas Edison executed his first patent application for a high-resistance carbon filament. That would be the light bulb. So, 1879, this day. 1959, Jacques Plante, the Montreal Canadiens, becomes the first goalie in the NHL to wear a mask. And this day in 1962, the Lucy show premiered, with, of course, Lucille Ball, Desi Arnaz. 1968, this day, was the beginning of the movie rating system of, course, GMRX, and was later followed by PG-13 and NC-17, went into effect this day in 1968. So a little bit of background for you there. We're going to be talking, like I said, about the history of Bastion Square today. For those that know the history of the city, of course, it was originally was built as a fort. The surrounding streets were Wharf, Government, Bastion, and Broughton Streets. But, of course, by the early 1860s, Victoria was not looking really much like the original settlement that James Douglas, Roderick Finlayson, and Charles Ross had established. It was starting to spread out. The government offices had been relocated across the James Bay Bridge to James Bay to be close to the home of Governor General James Douglas. And brick buildings started appearing along the waterfront and replacing the frontier structures and the old wooden buildings, and up started popping hotels and brothels and saloons and, you know, just all the sort of things going on along there, providing, well, I guess like warmth and welcoming smiles. And Bastion Square was in the very heart of that. It was a brassy, body, beery time, and was heaven for a man with a thirst. One of the major watering holes, and of course there was no shortage of them in there at that time, was the Boomerang Saloon. This has an interesting story. A fellow by the name of Ben Griffin opened that one, and Ben had was an Englishman who had followed all the different gold rushes. He'd gone first to Australia and then to San Francisco, and eventually he was ended up in Victoria, and him and his wife Adelaide. But they weren't so much interested in mining as they were mining miners, and were interested in finding ways that they could give them comfort in their time of want. And he had a good served a good strong ale, and he was a good companion, and always had this generous outpouring of poems, and he was always satirical about local persons and personages. It was quite the character. But not long after they moved into town, something changed. And what happened was a young and robust Adelaide just all of a sudden up and died. She was gone. They buried her. They did it up at the Quad Street burial ground. She's still in there. Of course, Ben was mourning away. But oddly enough, it didn't take too long for Ben to bounce back. And he would seemed quite quickly back in the old saloon, you know, back to business, regaling patrons with his poetry, and just sort of generally seeming to go through the whole experience quite well, almost like it was business as usual at the Boomerang. But Adelaide, you know, through all this, of course, it appeared to be forgotten. But one late evening, leaving the bar was a merry group of miners, I'm sure, who had a few what we call them these days wobbly pops. Coming down Wharf Street and went up to Langley, and all of a sudden they saw this ghostly form of a woman gliding across their path. and was wearing white, and it seemed to hover above the ground, and it bore an uncanny resemblance to Adelaide. So a few more times in the vicinity of the boomerang and in the old burying ground, her death was never explained, but she kept showing up. And Ben Griffin died in 1881 at the age of 72. And when he died, if he held the key to the mystery, he took it with him. So no one really got to know. In the late 1880s, the jail that was down there for the original fort was demolished, and it was taken down and made way for the courthouse. And the building officially opened in 1889. And there was all sorts of dignitaries there. The Chief Justice, Sir Matthew Bailey Begley, he was there, and many others. And also in the square across from there in 1893, they erected the British Columbia Board of Trade building in that same area as well. Now, for those of you who know, the building that was now the courthouse, or was then the courthouse, is now the home of the Maritime Museum of British Columbia, which happens to sponsor our show. So that's a bit of history of that building and the history of Bastion Square. And I guess it was about 1965 that there was an injection into that end of town where all the old buildings were sort of cleaned up and restored and brought back to some of its earlier splendor, and then, of course, became a real hub of activity. We're going to go to break here in a second. We'll talk about that time in the 60s and what was going on down there. We're going to give you a trivia question just quickly before we go to break. If you can give us a call at 250-386-1161 in your cell or star 1070, we'll pay the charges if you can answer this trivia question for us. On Wharf Street is the Victoria Information Bureau. It was originally built in 1929 by Parfitt Brothers Construction. That's my grandfather and his brothers. It's originally built as a gas station. Can you tell me what kind of gas station it was, the name of the company whose gas station it was? Give us a call, 250-386-1161, right after the break, and see you then.
Hi, I'm Susan Woods, your candidate for Victoria City Council. I feel passionate about our city and want to help shape the future for a strong, diversified economy and as a reflection of our character and civic pride. As a progressive thinking, nonpartisan candidate, I ask for your vote on November 15th. I'll return your support with hard work and accountable representation. Check out my website for more details about my vision for Victoria. SusanWoodsForVictoria.com. Thank you.
Authorized by the registered agent for Susan Woods.
Good afternoon. It's Al Farabee and CFAX 1070 on location today at Saunders Subaru on the Old Island Highway. And this is a very special day today because Saunders Subaru is officially turning 30 years of age. That's right. The 30th anniversary celebration is continuing. It all began way back in 1978 here, and it's continued to be family run and owned for the entire 30 years. So come by and say hi to Bob, Edie, Ruth, and the whole Saunders family. They're here today and take a look at what they have. The new 09 models are in. 2.9% finance is what you can take advantage here today at Saunders Subaru, and other great things too, like you got that Halloween pumpkin, you don't know what to do with it. They're going to take it in today at Saunders Subaru and donate $2 per pumpkin for CFAX Santa's Anonymous. So plenty of things for you, including a chance to spin the wheel to win. We've got all kinds of goodies for you. Candy, cake, coffee, cider, and great prizes and celebrations that continue here today. We're celebrating all day at Saunders Subaru on the Old Island Highway.
It's happy birthday at Fairway Market. They're celebrating their 47th anniversary with super best buys like Campbell's Chunky Soup or Chili. The 425 to 540 ml tins are $178 each. Canada Grade A Boneless Outside Round Oven Roast is buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value. Fair value pricing, fresh choices for 47 years at Fairway Market. Proud to be locally owned since 1961.
Fairway, birthday, Fairway Market.
The Maritime Museum is now offering programs that can be delivered in the classroom, library, boardroom, or just about anywhere else the class or group meets. It's called Museum Without Walls and features life and work aboard ship, three tales of women at sea, and immigration on the BC coast. All programs are delivered by museum staff. For information, call 385-4222 extension 106 or email programs at mmbc.bc.ca.
Every play, every goal, every heart-stopping moment. Catch every Canuck game live all season on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. I'm Glenn Parfitt, sitting in for Susan Woods. Show's Remember When. And today we're talking about the history of Bastion Square and Wharf Street. We went right back to the 1800s in our just before break and talked about the history. And we also had a trivia question just before we went to break. The Victoria Visitor Information Bureau is located on Wharf Street, originally built in 1929 by Parfitt Brothers Construction, my grandfather and his brothers. What was the name of the company? It was a gas station. What was the name of the company, of the gas company that was on the side of the tower? And we're going to go to Boyd on line one. Hi, Boyd. Do you have the answer for our question?
That'd be an Esso station.
Boyd, you're absolutely correct. Do you remember? Did you grow up here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And do you remember the what the sign did on the side of it?
I can't remember the details of that. I just remember buying gas there when I was 16.
Well, the sign used to flash E-S-S-O, and then all four letters would flash S-O-S-O twice, and then go back to that. So a great memory. And Boyd, hold on the line here. We've got oil change and lube, courtesy of our good friends at Alpine Transmission and Auto Repair out in Langford at Mill Stream and Station Avenue. And thanks for calling in, Boyd.
Well, that's just what I needed. Thanks, man.
There you go, man. I'll put you on hold, and Greg, our producer, will take your information. There you go. It was an Esso station, and it was a great spot. And I have a website called the Royal City Music Project. It's located at www.rcmpsite.com. And if you'd go on to that site and go to the video section, go to Victoria Inner Harbor, and you can see in 1929 a film that was taken by my cousin. And what he did, second cousin, is he sat up on top of the tower. He shot the Inner Harbor from Humboldt Street all the way down Government, across panning the Empress Hotel, up Government Street, across panning the Parliament Buildings, and then over you can see the CPR ferries that would, of course, go over to Seattle and Vancouver. So if you ever want to see some of that video, the website again is www.rcmpsite.com. Okay, we talked about the history of Bastion Square and Wharf Street before the break. We got ourselves to the 1960s, and then that was as far as we could get. And then we brought our guests into the studio, and they're going to talk about it from the 1960s on. And in the studio today, I've got Pete Willing and Russ Godfrey. Hey, guys.
Hey, hey man.
How you doing?
Great to be here, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. Now, we stopped at the 60s because that time the area was sort of being brought back and being
gentrified.
Yeah, exactly. And what it was is their old buildings were being made new and cleaned up. And that was a time when you guys were just starting off your musical careers. And, of course, we talked earlier about this being whole area having a history of bars and everything else where people would come and make themselves happy. And but yet the whole area just seemed to carry on even to this day. But let's talk about it in the 1960s when you guys were first exposed to it. And well, first of all, let's talk about your beginnings in music and the two of you coming together, and then let's talk about going down there. We'll start with you, Pete. Where did it all sort of begin for you?
Well, I actually started playing out in my mom and dad's living room and started trying to look for people to put a band together, and somehow Russ and I got connected, and
all the way from Sydney,
all the way from Sydney
to Happy Valley,
and we started our first little group. Well, the first group was actually Bonnet Stock. That was the original group, and then we got on to Peace Jeep, which was the '60s Beatles, Rolling Stones kind of band. And Russ and I hit it off, and we've been kind of chumming around playing together ever since.
So 40 years.
40 years now.
So you guys were caught up in that British invasion thing with the Beatles.
Absolutely,
on TV, the Stones,
yeah.
And you were one of the many, many groups that were together at that time. It was interesting to hear Red Robinson speak at the Hall of Fame this year and mentioned what he did about that. He felt that there was more music in Victoria per capita than in Vancouver and, in fact, many other cities in North America. And you guys were part of that scene. So you've got this band together playing around, and you got a chance to go down to Wharf Street. Tell us about the first time you went down there and played, and what sort of set the scene, what it was like down there at the time for us.
Well, we got to sub for the Peppermint Circle at the Agogo, and every musician in town at that time, really, that was a died and gone to heaven gig. You made it when you played at the Agogo, because it was a popular place. And
they had go-go dancers.
They had go-go dancers. The worst acoustics in the world. You were all lined up in a row against this flat wall. So I was on my drum set, and Peter was in parallel with me. I couldn't see him. The sound was awful, but everyone was dancing and having fun.
It
and
was it, a huge
it was,
club.
It was a wild scene. It was like it was packed all the time.
Now, the walls in this place, I've seen pictures of it. Were they like rock walls?
They were rock.
Yeah, brick walls painted.
They were quarry rock.
And rocks, yeah.
Yeah.
Because this building was originally built, I believe, as a place where the ships would come in and unload all their wares and stuff. And it was like a huge, giant storage house and then was eventually converted over.
Yeah.
Before you came in, there's the Club Gogo. It was the Entertainer, and it was also the 1206. A couple of the other names that it had as well, too. You mentioned the rock. Now, how was it like to get in there? Were you able to sort of drive around
downstairs
and down below as you were now? Or?
Yeah, or lugging your equipment up and down those front wharf streets.
Very narrow. Narrow old stairwell.
Mm-hmm.
Brick stairs and down and then down and into this dark room.
Yeah, it was dark. And it was an interesting place in that. Like we were talking about it off the air about how you smuggled in your booze and kept it in your purse or in your pant leg something.
No license, no liquor license. Yeah.
So what would they do? They would just open up the bar, open up this club, a band would play, and what would they serve?
Mixer.
They
would pop, ginger ale, and sell chips.
Chips. Okay, yep. If the police come down and this place doesn't have a liquor license, what happens?
They just walk around, kind of see if everybody was okay and under control, and away they go.
Away they'd go.
Now, I'd heard stories that it was much like one of those bottle clubs, is what they called it, and you'd have a table with a tablecloth over top of it, but with a second layer underneath, and quite often that's where you would put your liquor.
Yeah.
And then when the police would come in, you'd put it down below.
That's right.
And then
it was tucked into the terry cloth, elastic waisted tablecloth, and you stuffed your Mickey.
Your Mickey,
up under there, flat.
Back then.
Yeah.
Quite a flame. So different people that played there, like what was it for you in your beginnings experience? Like what did playing there, and what was it like, sort of the crowds you were playing to? What were the people like? Let's just give us sort of a sense of the ambiance of the whole area.
Well, back then they danced.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of dancing.
Yeah.
You know, and
there was fights, dances.
Yeah. It was I remember the gig because, you know, being 15 or 16 and driving downtown for the weekend, it was a Friday night, was from 9 till 1, and then Saturday night was 9 till 2.
Yeah.
And then we'd come back on a Sunday afternoon and play a Sunday afternoon.
And then Monday morning you were back in school.
But guess what? We always had money in our pockets.
Yeah.
So we got $20 for a gig, you know.
Yeah, that was back in the days where actually there were places to play when you were a musician. Nowadays, for young musicians, it's tough. But, we just sort of managed to have all this energy and stay up really late and still go to school. I think you finished school. I didn't.
Yeah. but we did we'd do a high school gig. Yeah. And then we'd come downtown and we'd go to a place like the Purple Onion and play from 11:30 till 2 in the morning. So we'd do two gigs in one night.
Yeah. Which is almost unheard of these days. You're lucky to get one gig in two nights, let alone two gigs in one night.
There were so many places to play back then. Yeah.
And let's talk about some of those down on Wharf Street. Now, there was other places, as you go along Wharf, we talked certainly about the Victoria Information Center, but we're working this way, and I guess one of the first places that there was to play was the Army, Navy, and Air Force club in there. And that was three levels. Tell us about that and what that was like.
Was that on Langley Street?
Yes, and I remember packing Peter Dalzell's Hammond B3
up the stairs
because we couldn't get it in the elevator. And he put handles on it. And I look back at that and I swore if one of us had slipped,
we'd been
crushed because those things weighed a ton.
And I remember it being a tall, narrow building as well. We're going to be going to a break here in just a sec. We've got some things going on. And we're going to encourage people, if they want to give us a call and join in on the conversation, give us a call, 250-386-1161 in your cell or star 1070, and we'll pay the charges. Make sure you pull over if you call. Join on the conversation. If you got any memories of Wharf Street in the 60s, we're going to be talking about Bastion Square. We're going to be talking about a place called Queequeg right after this. Yeah.